Let's start. In chapter 21, we learned that there are many similarities in the birth of Isaac, the son of Abraham, and the birth of Jesus Christ our Lord. In chapter 22, we also studied that there are also similarities in the sacrifice of Isaac. Remember that? His father was about to sacrifice him on the altar. And the atoning sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. Here again, in chapter 24, we will find another set of similarities between the marriage of Isaac and Rebekah and the marriage of the church, the bride of Jesus Christ, and Christ himself. Let's stop and pray. Father, it is always joy to come to you, sit at your feet, to hear from you through your word. Your voice is loud and clear to us. Father, we are asking you to speak to all of us. Our hearts open, our ears open, and we are attentive to hear you speak directly to us. Let it reside in our heart every day, and let us see your glory. Father, we are asking you to anoint our heart to hear your word and receive. And let us have a heart to obey you. And Father, we are asking you to anoint the one who speaks. We are asking your will be done in our lives. And you alone receive glory. Father, we pray for the President Trump and all the politicians and the judges in this country. Father, we pray that they may not do the things they want, but do the things what please you, even against their own desire. Father, you are the one who judge us. You are the one who lead us. Make yourself known to them. And Father, you willing, you protect the president and all the leaders. And Father, we also pray for our troops and our law enforcement personnel and the firefighters. Several police officers got being ambushed and killed for no reason. Comfort their families and comfort their friends. And Father, we also pray for our firefighters, the brave ones who are jumping into the fire to rescue people. We're asking you to watch over them, keep them safe. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 1 of chapter 24 in the book of Genesis, please. Now, Abraham was old and well advanced in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. So Abraham said to the older servant of his house, who ruled over all that he had, "Please let your hand under my thigh, and I will make you swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and God of the earth, that if you mark your Bible, would you put the number one before you, put number one, and you will not take a wife for my son from the daughters of Canaanite among whom I dwell, but you shall go to my country and to my family, take a wife for my son Isaac." All that underlined, please. And the servant said to him, "Perhaps the woman will not be willing to follow me to this land. Must I take your son back to the land from which you came?" But Abraham said to him, "Be aware that you do not take my son back there. The Lord God of heaven, who took me from my father's house, from the land of my family, and who spoke to me and swore to me, saying, 'To your descendant I give this land,' I will send his angels before you, and you will take a wife for my son from there. And if the woman is now willing to follow you, then you will be released from this oath. Only do not take my son back there." Verse 9. So the servant put his hand under the thigh of Abraham, his master, and swore to the concerning this matter. Okay, you are wondering, why do they put the hand under the thigh of the person who's swearing? I don't know. Maybe it was just custom. So let's not make a theology out of that thing, okay? Just leave it there. Abraham is by now is 140 years old. His greatest concern before he die is he want his son Isaac to be married to the woman from the, his family line. By doing so, the God fulfilled the covenant, his covenant promise, covenant promise to bless Abraham with many descendants and give them a Canaan for their inheritance. In those days, a parent made a marriage arrangement. This is a wonderful love story. I'm sure you, some of you guys know this. It reveals that God is interested in our marriage, whether you believe or not. God cares whom you marry. I'm sure that you've noticed the first miracle Jesus performed in the land of Canaan is what? Making wine in the wedding. And the last thing that he does in chapter 19 of the book of Revelation is also the wedding between the bride of Jesus Christ and the bride. I'm sorry, rather Jesus Christ. There is two institutions that God has given to a human family. One is marriage, and the other is the human government. Family is a backbone of any society, thus the Lord established a marriage. It is the Lord who started the marriage. It's not some smart aleck came up with the idea. That is why the devil is doing everything he can to break the marriage and destroy the families around the world. I'm going to say it without an apology. Marriage between man and woman are the only one that accepted by God. Biological man, biological woman. Not someone who thinks that I identify myself as whatever. That doesn't mean anything. What about the lesbian marriage or what about the homosexual marriage? Maybe it is right in the sight of the law because our land, our whole earth is so perverted. But according to my Bible, according to the Bible you have on your lap, there's no such a thing as homosexual marriage. And you may say, isn't that a little harsh? Isn't that a love? No, it's not a love. It's a lust, what we call. Abraham was a man of faith who believed God's word and knew how to apply it in specific situation and decision. He sought to obey God's word because the true faith always results in what? Obedience. You can have all the faith in the world. If you don't obey what God says, you have a dead faith. The more you meditate on God's word, the more truth we will see it, and the better direction we will get from it. This applies to the decisions about marriage, vocation, ministry, and any other areas in life. Unless we trust God's word and obey it, he will not direct us any further. You with me? You may say, well, okay, I want you to tell me what's the next. No, he will tell you, what about the one you didn't follow me? You do that first. Have you ever built those models, plastic models? You're supposed to follow the sequence of the putting together. And you said, well, I can go from the first stage to the stage 12. Guess what happened? It doesn't work. I'm the first example to tell you. I've done that before. Before we go any further, we must ask ourselves the reason for the Abraham's condition of the bride-to-be. Why did he insist that bride should not be from Canaan? Because Abraham knew that Canaanites worship idol instead of one true God. He didn't want his son Isaac to be influenced by the idolatry of his wife-to-be. The same principle applies in 21st century. I want you to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14, please. Page 1526. Help? Does it help? No? Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Let me start again. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? Let me pinpoint this to those who are unmarried. Okay? Yes, I'm talking to you, Nick. And all the young people, anyone who is a single. If you're thinking about marrying, do not even date unbelievers if you're a born-again Christian. And you may say, why? But he's so cute. Oh, she's so beautiful. It's a skin deep. You got to see the heart. If that person do not have Jesus Christ in the heart, that person is practically idolater. Because that person believes in themselves. The instruction from our God through the Apostle Paul is extremely clear. Do not marry. Do not even date unbelievers. Because if you do, you will fall into the trap of deserting God for the sake of the worldliness for your date or future spouse. Did you get that? This is extremely important. All right, I shouldn't put the number one there. Here's the thing. I see the seven things in this study. Here's the number one. Father sent out helper for the son's bride. In Hebrew word, Eliezer means God is help or the helper. Isn't it interesting that Jesus told us about the helper, the Holy Spirit, he was going to send on behalf of him once he leaves the earth? And just as God the Father dispatched the Holy Spirit to bring the people to Christ, Abraham dispatching Eliezer, the helper, to bring the bride to his son Isaac. Would you go to the John chapter 14, please? John chapter 14, verse 16. I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper. He may abide with you forever. Excuse me, forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. If you are born again Christian, the moment you receive Jesus Christ into your heart, acknowledge Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, Holy Spirit comes into your heart. Think about it. The God, very God, the universe cannot contain, the same God reside in your heart. The God who created the entire universe with the omnipotent power comes into your heart and empower you to do things for him. It's mind-boggling. All right, let's go down to the verse 10 of chapter 24 in Genesis. Then the servant took the 10 of his master's camel and departed. For all his master's goods were in his hand. And he rose and went to the Mesopotamia, the city of Nahor. And he made his camel kneel down outside the city by the well of the water at evening time, the time when the women go out to draw water. Then he said, Lord God of my master Abraham, please give me success this day and show kindness to my master Abraham. Behold, here I stand by the well of the water, and the waters of the man of the city is coming out to draw water. Let it be that the young woman whom I say, please let down your pitcher that I may drink. And she says, drink, and I will also give your camel a drink. Let her be the one you have appointed for your servant Isaac. And by this I will know that you have shown kindness to my master. Stop there, please. Essentially, Eliezer was asking God to guide through the providential circumstance. It's not always the bad way. Some pastors said it's a bad way to do it, but yes and no. I'm sure you guys heard the phrase, I'm putting the fleece. This is from the book of Gideon, right? It's in a way using the providential circumstance to see the God's will. However, generally speaking, depending on the circumstance alone can be dangerous way to discern God's will. Why? Because we generally have a way of ignoring the circumstances when it speaks against what we want, or focusing on the circumstance that speaks for what we want. pick and choose, selective hearing, selective seeing, right? But in this case, Eliezer established what he will look for before anything happens. He's not making up the rules as he gets along. Actually, in a sense, he's stacking the deck against anyone would do. And you may say, what? You're giving water to him? Is that difficult? No. The problem is a camel can drink 20 gallons, up to 20 gallons at once. There are 10 camels. That means 200 gallons. So if you carry a two-gallon part with the weight of the part itself, it's a 2.5, say about 20 pounds. A young lady carrying the 20 pounds back and forth 100 times, that's quite a task, don't you think? So he put the deck so much against this woman. If anyone is willing to do it, let's go for that. The best way to find out our will is through the Word of God, His Bible. Or the godly counsel from the godly people around us. Or simply stepping out of in faith after many prayers. After that, we need to be what? Obedient. Say with me, obedient. Obedient to God's guidance, whether we like His choice or not. We had the two grandkids. I told you the younger one is kind of minion, and he tried to negotiate with me, and he asked for what do I get, and then I tell him what it is, and if he doesn't like, he's as stubborn as a bull, just like his papa. All right, verse 15. And it happened before he had finished speaking that behold, Rebekah, who was born to Bethuel, son of Milah, and a wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, came out of her with a pitcher on her shoulder. Excuse me. Now the young woman was very beautiful to behold, a virgin, no man had known her. And she went down to the well and filled her pitcher and came up. And the servant ran to meet her and said, "Please let me drink a little water from your pitcher." So she said, "Drink, my lord." Then she quickly let her pitcher down to her hand and gave him a drink. And when she had finished giving him a drink, she said, "I will draw water for your camel also until they have finished drinking." Then she quickly emptied her pitcher into the trough, ran back to the well to draw water, and drew for all his camels. And the man, wondering at her, remained silent so as to know whether the Lord has made this journey prosperous or not. So it was when the camels had finished drinking that the man took a golden nose ring weighing a half shekel, two bracelets on the wrist weighing 10 shekels of gold, and said, "Whose daughter are you? Tell me, please. Is there room in your father's house for us to lodge?" And she said, "I'm the daughter of Bethuel, the Milcah's son, whom she bore to Nahor." Moreover, she said to him, "We have both straw and feed enough and room to lodge." Then the man bowed down his head and worshipped the Lord. And he said, "Blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who has not forsaken his mercy and his truth toward my master. As for me, being on the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren." Stop there again, please. Yes, sometimes God answers our prayer before we even finish praying. We love that kind of thing, don't we? And then we don't like the answer when we ask the Lord and He doesn't answer. It's like a dead silence from heaven. Guess what? That's time for the training. Time of patience. Waiting upon the Lord. Any of you guys like to wait upon the Lord? If you do, you are sick. But it is good for us. In following the Lord Jesus, we must be led by the Spirit of living God, not driven by our own selfish impulse or ambition. You with me? We should not be driven by us, what we want, but led by the Holy Spirit. As Rebecca began the hard work of watering all the camels, servant did not stop her. And the servant did not stop her when she filled the first trough or second trough. He just let us do it because he wanted to make sure that she is the one who followed through what she promised. And he wanted to make sure that this is the woman God had designated for him. Ever since I became a born-again Christian, I had and I still have a great opportunity, a privilege to work with many great servants of God. You know, I feel sorry for some other pastors who had to do so many different things in their church because he just cannot find the people to take over the things. In our church, we have so many people, great people. And they make me to do what I need to do, pray and study the word and teach. I'm privileged. At the same time, there are some people who are born again Christian. I know they are born again Christian. They will say, yeah, I will serve the Lord, but they don't do a thing, lifting their fingers. Here's a great opportunity this coming Saturday, work day. Am I putting the guilt trip on you? Yes and no. But what good is it for you to say, I will serve the Lord, but you are not going to do a thing if you have an able body? They are not asking for skilled labor. If I can show up and do something, that means you are qualified. Those guys know that Paris Merrill knows that I don't know squat about the building things. I know how to break things. It's not, listen carefully, please. It's not what you can do, what God can do through you. God is not looking for the ability, but God is looking for someone with availability. When you serve the Lord, you will receive the blessing. And if you choose not to serve the Lord, you are robbing yourself from receiving the blessing. So if you want to serve God, do it without any lip service. If you want to miss out on his blessings, don't serve him. It's your choice. Go down to verse 28. So young woman ran and told her mother, the household, and these things. Now Rebekah had a brother whose name is Laban. And Laban ran out to the man by the well. So it came to pass that when he saw nose rings and bracelet on her sister's wrist, and he's thinking, kaching, 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 all that stuff, right? And when he heard the word of his sister Rebecca saying, thus man spoke to me, and he went to the man, and there he stood by the camel at the well, and he said, come in, you, O blessed of the Lord. Why you stand outside? For I have prepared a house and the place for the camels. Then the man came to the house. He unloaded the camel and provided the straw and the feed for the camel, and the water to wash his feet and feet of the man who were with him. Food was set before him to eat, and he said, I will not eat until I have told about my errand. And he said, speak on. So he said, I want you to put number 2 before I am Abraham's servant. Verse 35, all the way to the verse 36, please. The Lord has blessed my master greatly, and he has become great. He has given him flocks and herds and silver and gold, the male and female servant, the camel and the donkeys. And Sarah, my master's wife, bore a son to my master when she was old, and to him he was given all that he has. Now my master made me swear, saying that you shall not take a wife for my son from the daughters of the Canaanite, whose land I dwell. But you shall go to my father's house and my family, and take a wife for my son. And I said to my master, perhaps a woman will not follow me. And he said to me, the Lord before whom I walk, and will send his angels with you, prosper your way, and you shall take the wife for my son from my family and from my father's house. You will be clear from this oath when you are right from my family, among my family, for if they will not give her to you, then you will be released from my oath. And this day that I came to the well, said, Lord God of my master Abraham, if you will now prosper the way in which I go, behold, I stand by the well of water. It shall come to pass that when the virgin comes out to draw water, I say to her, please give me a little water from your pitcher to drink. And she says to me, the drink, and I will draw for your camel also. Let her be the woman whom the Lord has appointed for my master's servant. But before I finished speaking in my heart, there was Rebekah coming out with a pitcher on her shoulder. And she went down to the well and drew the water. I said to her, please let me drink. And she made haste and let her pitcher down from her shoulder and said, please drink. I will give your camel a drink also. So I drank, and she gave the camel a drink also. Then I asked her and said, whose daughter are you? And she said, the daughter of Bethuel, Nahor's son, whom the Milcah bore to him. So I put the nose ring on her nose and the bracelet on her wrist. And I bowed my head, worshipped the Lord, and blessed the God of my master Abraham, who had led me in the way of truth, to take the daughter of my master's brothers for his son. Verse 49. Now if you deal kindly and truly with my master, tell me. If not, tell me, that I may turn to the right hand or to the left. Stop there again, please. Second point I'd like to bring it to you is the witness of the helper. The witness of the helper. Please note that the servant was not bragging about his position in Abraham's household. And he didn't pull out his golden business, embossed business card, hand it to the Laban and the other people saying, okay, I am the COO of the Abraham, the Millionaire Foundation. He was not talking about himself. Rather, he was talking about Abraham, and he was talking about Isaac. Just like that, Holy Spirit never speaks of himself, but he always points us to the cross to exalt the God, the Son, Jesus Christ. Are you with me? There are some denominations, usually charismatic denomination, who put so much emphasis on the Holy Spirit. They call the Holy Ghost, of course. And they put over-exalt Holy Spirit in such a way they diminish the Son, Jesus Christ. Holy Spirit's job is pointing us to Jesus Christ. Never forget that. The servant gave a token of his master's wealth, just as the Spirit gives us the first fruit and guarantee of our spiritual riches in Christ. The best is yet to come. Amen? The servant's job was not to argue or bribe, but simply bear witness to the greatness of his master. He did not force Rebekah to marry Isaac, but he merely gave her fact an opportunity to make a decision. While there's nothing wrong with urging people to know about Jesus Christ, but we are not supposed to force people to receive Jesus Christ in their heart. I'm sure you notice at the end of the service, each Sunday morning service, I give an altar call. I tell them, this is what happens if you choose not to follow Jesus Christ. If you choose to follow Jesus Christ, you will have a hope. You will have a love, never ending. And you will live in heaven with Jesus Christ. I give you the fact, but if you choose not to follow him, it's on you, not on me. All right, go down to verse 50, please. Then the Laban and the Bethuel then answered and said, the things come from the Lord that we cannot speak to you, either good or bad. The bad or good, rather. Here is Rebekah before you. Take her and go. Let her be your master's wife, a master's son's wife, as the Lord has spoken. And it came to pass when Abraham's servant heard their word, and he worshipped the Lord and bowing himself to the earth. Then servant brought the jewelry of silver, jewelry of gold, and the clothing, and gave them to Rebekah. He also gave precious things to her brother and to her mother. And he and the men were with him, ate and drank and stayed all night. Then they rose in the morning, and he said, "Send me away to my master." But her brother and her mother said, "Let young woman stay with us a few days, at least 10. After that, she may go." And he said to them, "Do not hinder me, since the Lord has prospered me my way, and sent me away so that I may go to my master." So they said, "Well, we'll call the young woman and ask her personally." Then they called Rebekah and said to her, "Will you go with this man?" She said, "I will go." Put number 3 on "I will go," please. So they sent away the maid Rebekah, their sister, and her nurse, and Abraham's servant and his men. And they blessed Rebekah and said to her, "Our sister, may you become the mother of thousands of ten thousands. May your descendant possess the gate of those who hate them." Stop, please. Third point, the response to the bride-to-be. When the servant asked, let Rebekah make a choice, her reply is, "I will go." Simple as that. This is a decision every sinner must make. What motivated Rebekah to make that right decision? She heard a word about the bridegroom, Isaac, and believed. She never seen him. There was no, he didn't pull out his iPhone and say, "See, he's good looking." He couldn't do that. He couldn't even draw the picture of him. She saw the proof of his greatness, generosity, and wealth, and wanted to be with him for the rest of her life. She had not seen Isaac, but she had heard about him, convinced her to go to Canaan with the servant. Let me put it in our terms. It is decision of faith based on the evidence provided by the Holy Spirit through the word and the witness of the born-again believers. Sinners who delay is in danger of losing opportunity of the belong to the God's family and live in heaven. I want you to go to the two verses. Hebrews chapter 3, please. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 7. You there? "Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your heart as in the rebellion." If you hear the Holy Spirit's voice, if you read a portion of the Bible and God speaks to you through the Word of God, and if you choose not to obey, that is a rebellion. Are you with me? Are you with me? Okay, God's going to remind you for that. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, please. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Verse 2. "For he says, in an acceptable time I have heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." All right, let's go back to the Genesis. Verse 61, we're going to move fast. "Hey, steak and lobster is waiting." "Then the Rebekah and the handmaid arose, and they rode on the camel and followed the man." That's a number 4, okay? So the servant took the Rebekah and departed. That's a number 4. Now Isaac came to the doorway of Beer Lahai-Roi, for he dwelt in the south. And put number 5 before Isaac. "Isaac went out to meditate in the field in the evening. And he lifted his eyes and looked, and there the camels were coming. When Rebekah lifted her eyes, when she saw Isaac, she dismounted from her camel. For she had said to her servant, 'Who is this man walking in the field to meet us?' servant said, "It is my master." So she took a veil and covered herself. Put number 6 in front of verse 66. And the servant told Isaac all the things that he had done. And Isaac brought her into the mother Sarah's tent. He took Rebekah. And put number 7, she became his wife and he loved her. All the ladies said, "Aw." See? It's a love story. And Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. All right, fourth point. Trusting her groom without seeing him. We can only imagine the conversation between the Rebekah and the Eliezer have on the journey. She wanted to know everything about him. And he was a delight to tell her about him. We choose to love our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ without seeing him because what? He loved us first. We don't even have a capacity to love our Lord God unless we knew that he loved us first. The covering with a veil signifies chastity, modesty, and submission. This is how Rebecca wants to meet her bridegroom. Chastity without idolatry. I hope you don't have idolatry in your heart. And you may say, "Well, I don't worship any idols." Do you worship your job? Do you worship your spouse? To the point of that spouse or the job or whatever that is, or your hobby. What is your hobby that's distracting you from God? And the modesty and submission. That is our job to be as a good Christian. Fifth point that I asked you noted is that the groom had a ministry of prayer while the bride came. Please note that Isaac was meditating and praying while the Rebekah was on her way to him. Just like that, our Savior Lord Jesus Christ is interceding our prayers while he waits for his Father's word to come and get his bride, the church. When you pray, listen to me please, when you pray, our Lord Jesus Christ intercede for us. Do you understand this? Do you understand the magnitude? When we pray according to his will, Holy Spirit help empower us to pray right way. And Jesus Christ up in the throne room, right side of the throne, he's interceding for us. And God the Father paying attention to our prayer. Once we start to pray, we activate all three persons in the Trinity. I don't know about you, it's a mind-boggling thing to me. And sixth point, the servant successfully fulfilled his duty to bring the bride to the groom. Holy Spirit has sealed us and delivered us to Christ on the day of redemption. Seventh point, the bride became his wife and the groom loved her. Rebekah received a few gifts from Isaac, but now that she was his very own, she possessed everything that he possesses. Their lives were one, and so it was with Christ and his church as the what? Joint heirs in the Lord. Amen? Two applications. Number one, in following the Lord Jesus, we must be led by the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of the living God, not driven by our own selfish impulse or ambition. Second application. It is the decision of faith based on the evidence provided by the Holy Spirit through the Word and the witness of the church. The sinner who delayed is in danger of losing the opportunity to belong to the God's family and live in heaven. I promised a steak and lobster. Here it is. I told you. All right, let's stand up and pray.